Book of the Revelation, first chapter, and we'll just finish in chapter 1. You know of the girl who said that the Bible begins with revolutions. Well, but here, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation God gave unto him to show unto his servants the past. And he sent and signified it by John, who bear record of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all. Blessed is he that readeth and they prophesy, and keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the unto him that washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and they will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Amen. I am eager the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, Almighty. May God the reading of his own word. We've been thinking of the purposes of God, and we come now to that history is hastening us forward, perhaps more quickly than realize, which will be the fulfillment of the purposes of God for Jesus Christ. Pray. He cometh with the clouds, coming bodily, visibly. I shall see him. Coming, he comes again to this world, to his people. They also that pierce, but coming not only to them kind, all kindreds of the earth fail because of him. This just briefly as an introduction. What this about the person of the returning Lord. As John passes on greetings from the other, him who it is to come, to the children of Israel to bring them out of Egypt. He said to God, now when I come to the children of Israel and I say to others, hath sent me, and they say to me, what shall I say to them? And of that covenant name, Jehovah, I am that I am, that's formed from the verb to be, to become eternal God. That is paraphrased here. Is and who was and who is to come. Eternal. The one who has not derived life, not dependent, has absolute life. And then the verse goes on to speak of his spirit, the seven spirits of his throne. Not that there are seven persons, but the sevenfold full act of the Spirit of God. The seven lamps, the seven fires, God in his plenary activity. What name can you associate with the, with God's Holy Spirit? There's only one name you can put into that bracket. and from Jesus Christ. Look how incongruous it would be to put into that association. To you in peace. Complete well-being, grace and peace. From, well, not from any human source. From the one who is in the baptismal formula, baptized in the Son and the Holy Spirit, is in the New Testament benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, Spirit. There's only one whose name is worthy there. The one who came, the faithful witness prophet, the first begotten, the one who has offered the sacrifice to rise again, the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, this is the person who is coming in his majesty and glory. This belongs to him. And he lay, just as he went, behold, he comes. My dear people, the kingdom built up on this earth by human endeavor, built up. It's not going to be achieved down on this level. Nothing can achieve the coming in of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is to come when the king returns. God. His throne is to, not because it is to be built up, but because he descends. He is God. That empires of the world in the form of the image, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember, image was destroyed and displaced, cut out without hand. A great mountain and fill the earth. God is what God will achieve by his not by what we do out hands. The Son of the Blessed Trinity. He God. He's coming back into reality. All that he has promised. And to establish that kingdom which we look divine intervention in human affairs. A gospel that we preach that gradually permeates over the world. That is not how God's kingdom is. But by a definite divine intervention in the person of the returned Lord. Look. He comes. It says, he comes in the clouds of heaven. I want to take you this morning to one or two scriptural great day, so that you may see it is part of the very fabric. Our belief in the bodily return of the Lord Jesus Israel does not rest on an isolated thought. It is part of the very pattern and of the scripture itself. As you've already done in your minds, to the book of the Acts, chapter. He comes and shall see him. The mention of the Lord Jesus, verse 9. These things, while they beheld, he was, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly to up, behold, two men stood by them who said, ye men of Galilee, why to heaven this same Jesus up from you into heaven shall so come as ye have seen him go into heaven. That resurrection body of our Lord Jesus that gave. That body in which he turned over again to his disciples in the great 40. that body with which he is the throne of the Father. That body that is... He hasn't left his humanity behind him. He's as much the man Christ Jesus as he was when he was here on earth. In that body he went. If he is now at the right hand of God the Father, or our head, our Lord, we are one with him. He's taken humanity up to his ascension. In that body again, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you. Or we meet people who gain for his own when we enter into his presence. What does that to do with coming in the clouds of heaven? It can only have one meaning. As it was at the ascension, so it will be bodily, visibly, an event for all to see, to return here to this earth. His coming is in two stages. We believe that we are to there unto him. Now we come to this fact that he is to come just as he went. But let us turn back to our Lord's own teaching. John, in the Apocalypse, speaks of his coming in the angels at the ascension, when out of their sight promised that he would come in the same way. But let's take it back to what our Lord himself taught, and turn to 24th chapter of Matthew, Olivet Discourse. Our Lord answer disciples, what shall be the stand of the end of the age? And our Lord is answered, first of all, he speaks of the fall of Jerusalem. But the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction mirrors what is to one finds its fulfillment on a greater scale, Lord's return. So that we can read the historian Josephus, and we can see Lord's words were fulfilled in AD 70. But we know, because they go beyond that, end of the age. And in the 30th, our Lord says, let's read from the verse before it, 29. After the tribulation of those days, darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, in great glory. So what our Lord 27 was not completed in a, but it looks forward to that which is still in the sign of the Son of Man. Contradicted. Something that showed his deity. The Son coming in the clouds in power. The people of Israel, their own land. As we saw the other morning, there are 3 million of them. But there lies before the returned nation a time of unprecedented trouble. The birth pangs of the great tribulation, Jacob's trouble, is to conclude. Immediately it is to conclude. Personal return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen. He will come again. But there is another occasion when our Lord heard. Will you turn on, please, to Matthew 26? Our Lord is standing before Caiaphas. He is there before the Sanhedrin. And the point at issue is his messiahship. And false witnesses have been suborned to come in against him. But their witness failed each other. And through it all, our Lord, majestic, divine silence. Sometimes difficult to be silent. He, the ends of the earth, who was God, he was silent when men falsely. Can you keep silent when you? He did. Marvelous. Now in this chapter, Matthew 26, come to verse, perhaps 62 would be the better. The high said unto him, answerest thou nothing? These witness against thee. Now the high priest answered, I adjure thee by the living God, whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Caiaphas wants to bring the proceedings to a conclusion. He sweeps on one side the matter of personal testimony, what said, and he appeals directly to the Lord himself, and he appeals our Lord on oath by the living God that thou tellest. Be no more solemn an asseveration than this. By the living God. And our Lord, tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of God? Very interesting to know where Caiaphas got that. This is Peter's confession. Son of God. Did it even reach Caiaphas? And he quotes it. On his oath, in God's name, say, are you the Messiah? Jesus replied, he said, you have said it, I am, is true, the Messiah, the Son of God. Add something that's very interesting. When our Lord's Messiahship will no longer be a question, it will no longer be a matter of state claim, but it will be invited. What you have said is true, Messiah. And, nevertheless, though now it's just a matter of statement, never I say, after this, you shall see and sitting on the right hand of power and come to heaven. Is he the Messiah of his people, servant of God, their hope and their Redeemer? The Jewish people say he is not. We say, we who believe the Scripture and who know him, but the day is coming when the whole question will be out of the realm of claim and counterclaim, statement and denial. It'll be something so clear, so patent, that it can't. Here is of the Messiahship of Jesus been opened, and the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven coming and in glory. And that's the thing as goes conversion and salvation. No longer be an Israel that denies the Messiahship. Can't be in that wonderful day when us returns. Put it like this. Why did our Lord express it in this way? The Son of Man seated at the right hand of heaven. Why did he put it like that? Well, he was talking to people who knew the Bible. He was talking to a priesthood who was the prophet Daniel. And he's Daniel 7. Now the high priest knew, no question about that. His day amongst the Jews could tell you exactly times each individual letter of the Hebrew throughout the whole of their Bible. Not that that would do. Still, they examined it. They knew it. Who knew the Scripture? To the high priest. With the Hebrew prophets. Jesus is Messiah. And And after this, that what the Hebrew prophets have said about the Messiah, me. Turn back to Daniel 7, will you? This remarkable chapter spanning of the times of the Gentiles. I can't go into any detail in any exposition of Daniel, but just briefly, let me lay it before you. Daniel spake, verse 2. All the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and he sees a rising out of the sea, Iranian area, four great worlds, one after another. For the lion with eagle's wings, Babylon, he sees that Babylon is followed by the bear, higher on one side than the other, Medo-Persian Empire, with the predominance.
At this point,
Babylon superseded by Medo-Persia. He saw superseded by Greece. The leper, the swiftness of Alexander's advances. And then he saw something even worse than Babylon, worse than Persia, worse. An empire so that no human beast could picture it. Rome. Dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly to them, an empire as the Roman Empire. Yes. In its conquests, in its strength, during for centuries. He sees the Roman Empire in its final phase. The 10 confederate nations saved Roman Empire. We read down this preview of the history of the time. We come to the 13th verse. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man, heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, given him dominion and glory. All peoples, nations, and languages should serve. His dominion is an everlasting, which shall not pass away, that which shall not be destroyed. Jesus claimed before the Sanhedrin, I am. Daniel and all the prophets wrote, the one who in the purposes of God, to come in the clouds of heaven and to establish a kingdom which shall never pass away. The essence of our Lord's reply before the Sanhedrin, that rise and fall, they wax. One after another they're superseded. They pass away. Babylon, Rome, Rome in its final form. But when that day comes, form, it's then that the God of heaven establishes a kingdom not pass away, not be destroyed. It's then, in those days that still lie before us, perhaps not very far before us, days of the revive. I'm not going to talk to you about the common market. Believe me, it is significant. Most significant. What once was Rome, seen as a kingdom again, this time consists of federate powers, headed, teach us, by the Antichrist, arch persecutor of Israel. then that Israel will know her greatest tribulation. And it's then that God is going to intervene, and our Lord will come in the clouds of heaven, first to his people Israel, and then all kindreds of the earth, empire that will never wane. Clouds. He comes at the time of his revelation and his return in person to this earth, first to his people. They also that our Lord not only refers to prophecy, but the words of also go back to the words of the prophet Zechariah, to the 13th chapter of the prophecy of Zechariah. First of all, to the 12th chapter of Zechariah. Look at the 9th verse of Zechariah 12. And it shall come to pass in that day. That's a phrase that comes over and over again in this part. It's a phrase that occurred earlier. And the 9th verse, I will remove the iniquity of that land. Now that prophetic day has come. It shall come to pass in that day that I, all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You know, dear people, nothing has been settled in the Middle East. Israel is still surrounding her utter destruction. There's not going to be a solution to Israel's problem until the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's to this solution, his return. The nations will rise again, gathered together to make war against her. This is the culmination that has by no means been eradicated. Come against Jerusalem. It says, at this time, I will pour upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit's supplications, and they shall see whom they have pierced. Mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only, and shall be in bitterness for him that is in bitterness for his firstborn. A great mourning in Jerusalem, and in the valley of Megiddo. Century, the darling of his people's heart, the young king, was slain opposing the Egyptians' army, the slain at Megiddo. And the whole land mourned him. Throughout the land, universal mourning. Fire at Megiddo. And says Zechariah, when the Lord comes back to his people, it's going to be like, they shall look, they have pierced, mourn because of him. A mourning that he can only speak of it in mourning that took place when Josiah was killed. And what is it that is going to bring about this morning, looking to a seeing in the one who is me and him. The verse, they shall look unto me because of him, the divine. They that pierced him. In the inscrutable providence, and Israel was the channel of the crucifixion. They pierced him. All the people. Never the whole of their leaders. Their leaders who had nation. They rejected him. They pierced him. Forever we condemn Israel. Jews crucified the Son of God. Some of them did. As I said, did because their leaders did it. But what about ourselves? Were you there when they crucified the Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? In a very real sense, yes. All share in the totality of the sin of those that pierced his hands and nailed him. And it ill become especially a redeemed sin, to cast a stone at Israel. We were there when they crucified the Lord. When we see a crucified Saviour, we say, ah, this is what the wicked Jews did. Some of them did. We know how they did them. We know he's the Son of God who loved me and me. That must be our attitude at the foot of the cross. Nonetheless, here it stands, they also that pierced him. Them, the promise of Zechariah is to be fulfilled, they whom they have pierced. And Israel down before a crucified Saviour. And Zechariah takes us into this home and that home, and he samples of what universal mourning is going on. The land shall mourn. Royalty, David. A bride, Nathan. It's through Nathan that Al did. The priests, the house, a branch of the priests, Shimei. These are just samples of what he means when he says, in this home and in that home, in royalty and in priest, people mourning before a crucified Savior. That's how Israel is going to enter into blessing. And what follows? The mountain shall be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for cleanness. A nation mountain where sins are washed away. There's a fountain filled with blood. The Bible speaks of a fountain filled with blood. We know what we mean when we use it. Opened by a crucified, the one who was pierced. Israel is to come to that fountain and find cleansing. To be restricted to Israel. He comes and I shall see him, and they also that pierced him. Verse white, all kindreds of the earth mourn because of him. That's how he is going to begin. It's going Israel's repentance and conversion and cleansing. And this is something that is going to all people. Let me just verse here in Zechariah. Turn back to the 8th chapter of Romans. What a wonderful picture of you is given here. Look at the 20th verse. It shall yet come some people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another speedily to pray before the Lord, Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations, the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the days it shall come to pass that 10 men out of all languages of the nations, even the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, with you. For we've heard that God is with you. The Jew wore a distinctive outer garment, ribbon of blue. He was told by Deuteronomy that he was to put his outer garment, the blue. He was a heavenly people in that sense. Here, he wore the tzitzis, the fringes, as every Jew did. That's why the Jew puts on a praying shawl. The four corners of the outer garment in the talit with its fringes. I mean, they're not blue today. It's that colour blue to use, and so he doesn't use any blue at all. So the four castles or cities. When our Lord was here, what do you think the woman? She says, if I but the fringe of his garment, hem. She didn't stoop down to the hemline. But there in front of her, just in front of her, the small of the back. Fringe. And she was superstitious. Part of his garment. If I but touched the fringe of his garment. It may have been an imperfect face, but the Lord rewarded her, didn't he? What a picture. All the nations, the languages of the nations, shall on the fringe. Of him that is a Jew and will save you, for we've heard that God is with you. That's what God purposed Israel in the day when Jesus returns, sin is put away, and when he wins. Because they say, we've heard that God is with you. If somebody is in trouble in your street, do they say, that's the house I will go to for comfort and for help? A life that's so redolent of the grace of God, that people will say, we'll go because God is with you. And promised in the purpose of God for Israel. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.